originating from our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios. This is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. An intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who took Derby 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano. A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm your host, retired jockey Christina McManigal, and I'm joining you tonight from our Jimmy John's of Lexington, Kentucky studio. I'd like to thank everyone listening tonight on Sirius 219, XM 201, and also to those of you tuning in to our website at www.horseracingradio.net. A portion of the proceeds from this show go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. The PDJF provides financial assistance to riders who have suffered devastating on-track injuries. If you're able to help, please visit their website at www.pdjf.org. So our guest tonight hails from Venezuela, where his father was a very successful jockey. He graduated from his country's jockey school and made a name for himself on the New York circuit with the Bug. He's now in Kentucky, and he surprised everyone on Sunday, opening day at Ellis Park, with an upset victory in the fourth race at 43-1. With 129 wins and over $5 million in earnings, it's a pleasure to introduce jockey Sammy Camacho Jr. Sammy, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you for this opportunity. It's my pleasure, you know. Riding here in Kentucky, I moved my pack like 6-7 months ago, and I started working with ex-jockey Francisco Torres, so I'm excited about it.
You had to be pretty happy after Sunday, yeah?
Yes, you know, you can see after the race how I celebrate my win.
Tell us, for those of our listeners who didn't see the race, what did you do to celebrate?
Well, it was exciting, the race, because I was in the top stretch in the last, so my whole come the last 2 fields, you know? So after the wire, I celebrate like I win the Kentucky Derby. It was funny.
I love it. Nothing like the feeling when you win a race, Sammy. Doesn't matter what it is. It's an incredible feeling. And tell us, how do you like Kentucky so far?
Yes, you know, I like Kentucky. No complain about it. So I'm happy here, you know. I'm happy in place, so, yeah.
Do you mind the heat? It's been pretty hot the last couple of days, Sammy. How do you cope with that riding and in this hot weather?
Yeah, well, no big difference, because my country all the time is hot weather, you know, never get cold. So, you know, everybody sweat in hot days. So, you know, but I have to deal with that.
I guess it has to be easier to make weight, right? When you sweat so much when you're riding, it's a little bit easier.
Well, I'm not like a small guy, you know, I have to pay attention what I eat. I have to take care of my body, do exercise, you know. So, yeah.
So what?
But my way is not complicated. If I take care, you know, and I focus on my way, it's no problem.
So as long as you focus on that, you're good. So tell us, what's your daily meal plan like? How much do you eat? And tell us what you do.
I eat like 3-4 times a day, you know. It depends. Sometimes it's not easy, because I don't have my family with me here. So, you know, I don't really cook. I have to sometimes go outside, go out and eat, you know. So that's the thing.
Well, tell us, Sammy, you're from Venezuela, and as I mentioned, your dad was a successful jockey. So let's go back. Let's start talking about the beginning of Sammy Camacho Jr. and how you came up and involved in the sport. What was it like growing up in Venezuela?
Yeah, well, my dad used to win like 1,000 races in my country, and only 2 days a week. I'm very proud about him. That's why I come a jockey. So it's like in the blonde, you know. So yeah, he was a champion jockey in my country, and I follow him, and I listen to him. So that's how I came a jockey.
So you looked up to him and you watched him ride as a kid, and is that you always knew you wanted to be a jockey even when you were a kid?
Yeah, always. I had the feeling. When I born like in the track, you know. So when I was little kid, I started riding like the ponies and horses and working, because I had my uncle working in the track, and you know he I go with him in the morning, so I used to love it, you know, from the beginning.
How old were you, Sammy, when you first started working at the track?
I was like 12.
Wow.
Yeah, and I have my brother too. He's riding in Miami right now. He's doing pretty good. Almost same name. It's funny. So yeah, you guys don't confuse.
I know. It makes sense. I got to tell you, Sammy, I was doing research, and that's your brother. Okay, now it makes sense. I was like, no, it's two different Sammy Camachos. So
Yeah. Some people think, oh, this guy worked very hard. He back and forth. He ride in Miami, go back to Kentucky. You know, funny. No.
Two different people.
Two different people. There you go.
So is he older or younger?
Older.
So he's the oldest.
Yes.
So he started first, so you were kind of following him too then?
No, we started the same school. We come from the same school. Same day we rode together, you know?
So, wow.
Yeah.
Were you guys like competitive with each other?
You know, we try to protect each other, but you know, in the race it's like, you know, no mercy.
No mercy. You want to win, right? Yeah. Even if you're beating your brother.
Everybody, you know. Everybody wanna.
So you told me you're 12 years old. You're going with your uncle to the racetrack. And what did you start out? Did you start out walking hots or grooming horses? Tell us how you started.
No, not really. I go at the same time. I go for the school, so I don't take the boot with me, you know. I get a program, like the whole racing program. I take the racing program with me, and I go for the school. So I don't put no interest, you know, in the school. And I told my mom, listen, I want to be a jockey. I tell her, be honest with her. So she don't let me till I have like 16 year old. And I move for another city and go for the jockey school, apprentice, you know. So That's how I start learning another city.
So your mom, was she worried? Did she have, you know, did she doubt? Did she not want you to ride?
Yeah, because my daddy, before, he used to have bad accidents. You know, like one time he was in coma for 2 days. So, you know, she always want what is best for me. And yeah, she worries sometimes.
But you wanted to do it, and you did it. So, how old were you? How old were you when you went to the jockey school then?
Like 16, 17, I was.
16, 17, and what was that like? Obviously, you know, there are many different jockey schools. Puerto Rico has a jockey school. Panama has a jockey school. And I've heard a little bit about those, but I've never really heard about the Venezuelan jockey school. So tell us what you start out doing and tell us all about it.
Oh yeah, the jockey school in Venezuela is really good, you know. You learning about like the what the groom do, about what the trainer do, clean the horse, his food, put the saddle, you know, everything. And then after that, you start like learning how you get the balance on the horse first. After you get the balance, they send you for the track. It depends how you progress, you know.
How do you get the balance? How do you do that?
Well, it's like you born, you know. You got the talent already. You born for something, you know. You know, you got the power to do, so sometimes it's easy for you.
So did you find that it came pretty easy for you?
Well, yeah, I can say that because that's what I love, you know. So I feeling, I got a connection with the horse feeling, so something else.
And how long did the jockey school last?
2 years.
Two years.
Yeah, in that school they have class of English too. So,
oh wow.
Yeah, it's good.
So before that you didn't know how to speak English?
No.
Wow.
No.
So they prepare you so you can come to the States?
Yeah. They prepare me. No, I still my English it's not perfect, you know, so.
Oh, you're good, Sammy. No worries.
I still learning.
No worries. And who did you go to school with? Any other riders that we would know of here in the States?
No. I go with the school with my dad and my brother.
And who teaches the school there?
They have somebody represent the school. His name is Franklin Ceballo. He used to be a jockey.
And how many kids attend? How many kids were in your class?
Was like 25. But the 25, only 12 can ride in the race, you know? So you have to make it.
So cut it in half. That's how many people actually made it. And when you said you started out, you know, grooming horses and gaining your balance, being able to sit on the back of a horse, and then they sent you to the racetrack. What was that like for you when you first started galloping horses on the racetrack?
Well, I started jogging, but I remember that my field horse, I started jogging and he started take off and run away, you know? So that's how it sometimes it's good for you because you're learning like that better. So
what happened?
So the first day, you know, no really control and... It was fun.
That's funny. So yeah. So you learned through that how to actually control the horse. He's starting to run off with you, but then you learned, did you get him back? Did you control him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like sometimes the horse, the first time you don't know the horse, he can take off and run away. But the second time you know him, and the third time, you know, it's better. So... like I say, connection.
How do you do that, Sammy? They're 1,200-pound animals, 1,000-pound animals. You are 105 pounds, 110 pounds. How do you control a thoroughbred that wants to run off?
Well, the most important is not fight with the horse. You cannot fight with that kind of pounds, you know?
So don't fight with him.
No, you have to be smart. You cannot fight with them.
So what do you do then? Instead of fighting, do you just, is it finesse? Is it, you try to relax the horse?
Yes, just try, you know, relax, chilling, you know. Sometimes let it do what they want and then it come back to you. It's a couple techniques, you know. So
you figured out how to control a tough horse and you said you went to the school for 2 years. And after the school, were you ready to ride?
Yeah, I moved for my city where I born. They had the good track. The name is La Rinconada. Yeah, and I start riding. I win like 62 races. In my country, it's different because my country, you win 60 races, you be a professional jockey, you know?
Oh, wow.
Over here, you win the five races, the first five races you win, 1 year they give it to you. So it's real different, big difference.
So they don't have, you're not an apprentice in your country?
Yeah, I was in my country, I was an apprentice. But like I say, I win like 52 races. When I came here, I was thinking like they're going to give me 1 year for the bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
No, they only give me 3.5 months.
Really? So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you only had the bug in the States for a couple months?
For 3.5 months.
Wow. So they counted how long you rode in Venezuela as part of your bug?
For like 7 months. That's all. 7 months. And then my dad and my dad and my mom fix the papers and I come here. That's how I come here.
Was that a big shock for you, leaving your family? And did your brother come with you?
No, by myself. No, well, this day was sad, you know, it was not easy. So, you know, when you go away from your family.
That's hard.
But sometimes you go for, you think like a sacrifice, you know. Sometimes you sacrifice for better future, you know.
So what was it like for you when you first arrived in the States? Was that a culture shock?
Excuse me?
Culture shock. Was it so different when you arrived? Was it a bit scary?
Not scary, but something different. Yeah, you know, a couple different things. But after that, you get it, you know. You feel comfortable later. So.
And did you learn, you already knew English, but was it hard to be here in the States and you're still new at speaking English? Did you learn?
Well, when I first come from my country, I was around with too many people speak Spanish, you know. That was hard for me because when I moved for New York, it was not too many people around me like speak Spanish. And then I really focused to learning, you know.
So then who brought you to the States? Did you have an agent set up?
Yes, I have it. I used to have him, yep.
And he told you to come to the States and you arrived in, did you start in New York?
No, I started in, like I say, in Miami.
Oh, Miami.
Miami. Miami, I rode for like 1 month and I moved right away for New York.
Why did you go to New York?
I go for New York because they find me another different opportunities, you know. And they find me the another agent, different agent. So, I go for New York.
So you went to New York, where, you know, obviously Miami's tough too, but some of the best riders in the country are in New York. So how was it for you when you first arrived to New York? Did you catch on quick? Did you start winning right away?
Yeah. Oh, I was blessing, you know. I started winning right away because when I came from New York, Ira Ortiz and Ryan Curatolo, they got the bug, but they for like in 2 weeks, you know, they don't win the bug. So they told me wait a little bit, be patient. After that 2 weeks, like people told me it was right. So the one trainer Gary Contessa started giving me the horse and give me opportunities. I start win races for him, and how the people know me, you know. So it was good moment in New York. I have really good moment in New York.
So you had to wait for the right time when the other hot bug boys had already lost their bug, and you
know?
Come on the scene, and then you said you started riding for Gary Contessa, and I know I read an article, Sammy, where you just, I think it was like a couple weeks, you'd just been winning so many races there for him. And how was riding in the States, in Miami and New York, how was that different than riding in Venezuela?
Oh, yeah, big difference. Because in my country, you work in the morning, it's the horses working for different style. It's not the same like here. They don't put the cero in my country in the morning. So here, every day you work in the cero. It's better for you because you're sick, you know?
So no cero?
No cero. In my country, no cero.
Wow.
Different. Yeah. Different.
Are you out there galloping and breezing horses in Venezuela with no saddle?
Yeah, with no cero.
Wow.
Like that, you know?
That's incredible.
Like a cowboy.
Like a cowboy. That's what you are, Sammy, if you're doing that. That is crazy. What do you do? So, obviously, now it all makes sense. You're talking about horses trying to run off with you in Venezuela. Yeah, you had no saddle. So, you had to learn how to rein in those horses. You had no support with the with the irons or the saddle. You had to do that all on your own.
Right. You know, the equisizer, I love the equisizer. Mm-hmm. When you make the practice in the equisizer, you know, the practice makes you perfect. So I'm learning a lot of things on the equisizer.
You still get on the equisizer now?
Yeah, I still do it, yeah.
And what do you work on? When you're on the equisizer, obviously, you know, almost every jocks room has an equisizer these days. What do you work on? Do you work on switching sticks or just your fitness? What do you work on?
I work in more, most important on the leg, you know? The leg is the most important. So I jogging a lot. I love to jogging.
So you think that you have to have strong legs. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you have to.
Obviously.
Everything, you have to be strong. Everything.
Right. You use every muscle in your body when you ride, yeah. But you have to have strong legs. And Sammy, so you run a lot. Do you do anything else in the gym? Do you lift weights or anything?
Not really. Push sometimes, but like I say, I love to jogging. I'd be okay when jogging.
Do you get on a lot of horses in the mornings?
Yeah. I used to work like 4, 5, 6, 7 horses, you know, breezing in the morning.
Does that help you with your fitness as well?
Oh, yeah. You know?
So the more you ride, you're keeping those muscles working and your fitness and you run and on the equisizer. Yeah, you keep busy, Sammy.
Yeah. And your way is good, too, when you keep move your body, you know? Good.
Joggy Sammy Camacho Jr. joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Sammy, you said when you arrived here, you only had a couple of months left with the bug, with your apprenticeship. And you arrived in New York, so you didn't have a lot of time with that weight allowance. And when you eventually lost the bug, that's always a difficult transition for some riders. It's always tough. Some people, they don't want to ride you when you don't get the weight allowance and you're still inexperienced. So did you find that was a tough time for you when you first lost the bug?
It was good, but the bad thing happened to me. I got an accident after I lost the bug and I broke my leg, so I cannot ride for like 6 months, you know? So...
Well, so right away you had an injury, and that had to be incredibly frustrating. What happened? How did you break your leg?
Yeah, well, I go to breathe one baby in the morning on the grass, and he acts like green, you know. And I lose my balance. I try to grab him. When I try to grab him, he saw me. Yeah, he saw me. So he kicked my leg. So he broke my tibia, the right tibia.
Wow. Did you...
Pain a lot.
Yeah. Did you have any... Were you afraid to come back? Did you have any doubts of coming back after that happened to you?
No, I come back more stronger. Not afraid. Not afraid about nothing.
I love it, Sammy. So you couldn't wait to get back?
Yeah, you know, I cannot wait.
How do you deal with that? Obviously, riding is so incredibly dangerous. How do you deal with knowing that you can get hurt any time, but you can't really think about it? So how do you deal with it?
Yeah, well, like you say, I don't think about it. And I think always positive, pray to the Lord, you know. And he sent me the protection, so I don't worry about it.
That's great. So we've talked about the weight. We've talked about injuries. There's other hard things, obviously, about riding as well. Working hard in the mornings, getting taken off horses. Sometimes it's frustrating as well. What's the hardest thing about riding for you?
When you got busy days, like you're working a lot of horses in the morning, and sometimes the horses come with the lightweight, you have to go for like the sauna and lose top of weight and then come back to ride in the afternoon, you know. Sometimes you're busy, sometimes, you know,
it's a lot to do. You're working a lot and you have to lose weight as well,
you know.
It's not easy. Nothing about it's easy, Sammy.
But
so,
like I say, we have to sacrifice for what we want, you know?
You love it, right?
Oh, yeah, I love what I do, my life.
What's that feeling like when you win a race? Obviously, that's why everyone, you know, that's a feeling we try to get. That's why we do what we do, is for that feeling you get when you win a race. Describe that, Sammy, to the audience. What does that feel like?
I feel like something else, amazing feeling inside, you know, happy. You cannot describe how you're feeling, you know. You smile right away in your face. So, amazing feeling, amazing.
And so when you were hurt with the broken leg, you couldn't wait to get back to get that feeling again, right?
You know, yeah. That's right. Cannot wait.
So when you returned, did you go back to New York, or is that when you decided to come to Kentucky?
Yeah. They called me to change the plan, but I say I want to try one more time in New York, so I go back to New York, you know? So, yeah.
So you stayed in New York for a little while, and how was that when you returned? You didn't have the bug, and you were just coming back from an injury.
Yeah, I just come back from the injury, and, you know, it was tough. And then I start working, win a couple races, and I move for another track like Mammoth Park, New Jersey. And that track, I started doing pretty good, and same happened. One of my horses broke down the two in front leg, and I broke my arm, my left arm. My business again come down.
The same year. That has to be so frustrating, Sammy. You build up your business and then you get hurt again. Like I said, it's a dangerous sport. But Sammy, we have to take a quick commercial break. So folks, stay with us. You are listening to Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judges' choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use the monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcotte. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too. And I thank you.
This is Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
Welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. I'm your host, Christina McManigal, and I am joined tonight by jockey Sammy Camacho Jr. And Sammy, prior to the break, we were talking about your injuries, and you were riding in New York doing well, you broke your leg, then you went to Monmouth, you were doing well, and then you broke your arm. So, as we know, injuries are tough to deal with in this sport, and it's frustrating for you as a rider. So when you come back from the broken arm, did you go back to Monmouth Park?
The most important, when I come back from my injury, I come back more stronger, like I say. And no, I come back again from New York. I say, let me try one more time. Never give up.
I love it. So how was it in New York when you returned there?
Some people give me opportunities, you know. And I win like 14 races in the meeting. And then I move again for Mammoth Park. I win like 16 that meeting. And we my first stake there, so it was okay.
What was your first stake win like?
In Mammoth Park, mm-hmm. 5.5 furlong. I win for the leading trainer in Tampa Bay, Gerald Bennett, that race. I beat the horse 1-5.
Who was the trainer?
Gerald Bennett.
Gerald Bennett.
Yes.
What was the horse's name?
Fast Flying Rumor.
Did you go straight to the lead?
Oh, yeah. This is one of the horse faster I rode.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So he was it close, or did you win easy?
Oh, I win easy. I win easy. The first quarter, it go like 20-4, 43, you know?
Wow.
1-2 for 5.5 furlong. It run fast.
It's a fast horse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had to be a great feeling when you win your very first stakes race.
Oh yeah, it was exciting. My dad was in the track, so you know we celebrate.
Oh, nice!
So, was nice, yeah.
Yeah, you got to see you win. Does he come and see you often?
Right now he's in Miami with my other brother, so maybe he come for vacation a couple days.
That's nice. Do you get to, have you ever ridden with your brother here in the States?
Well, we rode for a little while in Mammoth Park, and that's all, yeah. Because I got the accident, I have to leave for Miami with my other family.
Was that confusing when you both were riding at the same track, two Sammy Camachos?
Oh, yeah. Confused, yeah. Same name, you know. I don't know. I ask my dad all the time. Why we all have the same name? We're just laughing. No, he says Sammy is not Samuel. Yeah, but in this country, Sammy is Samuel. So they call me Sammy, and I am Samuel.
Too yeah. Funny. So your birth name is Samuel Camacho Jr.
Yeah, Samuel. But they call me Sammy, so I let the people call me Sammy.
So, Sammy, when did you decide to come to Kentucky?
Well, I decided when I had my last accident in Saratoga. I say, you know, I want to move my time for Kentucky. I want to try in Kentucky. I want to work hard, you know. So I made the choice.
So how did you get hooked up with Francisco Torres?
I was looking for agent, and somebody text me his number. My close friend Gabriel Saez, he sent me his phone number, and he told me call him. He's looking for some jockey. So I think right away about Francisco, and I called him, you know. And he say, give me one day. And the next day, he say, okay, come from the ground, we're ready.
Wow, so you guys hit the ground running. And what's it like working with Francisco? He was obviously such a successful jockey himself. So is it good having him as your agent? Is he kind of your coach too?
Oh, Francisco is something else. He's like my dad, you know. I have blessing working for him. I love working for him. He's a real good person. He worked hard, and he teach me a lot of good things. So, you know, I appreciate what he do for me.
What has he taught you specifically?
We talk about, you know, hey, Sammy, do that, do this, you know. He told me all the time. He's more the like joking agent, something else, you know.
So does he watch all of your races and then he points out certain things you could do better?
Oh yeah, he's focused when I ride. Yeah, he's more than when I win one race. He's more than exciting than me. Imagine it.
I love it. It's great to have someone like that on your side. And Francisco's just a wonderful person all around. How would you, yeah. Sammy? How would you describe your good out of the gate? Are you a front end rider? Do you come up from off the pace? Well, how would you describe it?
Well, sometimes it depends about what horse you have, you know. But I think I'm quick from the gate. I like to be early in the race, you know. I don't like to, you know, give it some chance or looking for some problem race or some traffic, you know. So I like to be in the clear sometimes and come back to the jockey room clean.
I love it. Come back clean. Send them to the front, right? And don't look back.
You know, not look back.
Jockey Sammy.
But sometimes, like I say, it depends what kind of horse. Like the other day, I win from the last two fields, so, you know, sometimes like that.
Right, as long as you win, right? That's all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. That's all.
Jockey Sammy Camacho Jr. joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Sammy, what are your career goals? What do you have in mind for yourself? Do you plan on staying here in Kentucky?
Yes, I think to stay and build something in Kentucky, call all the trainer and owner, looking for some opportunity, because I want to stay here in Kentucky and maybe one day ride the Kentucky Derby. My dream, win.
Your dream is to win the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, go for the Breeders' Cup.
There you go. Breeders' Cup will be here in Kentucky this year too.
You know, exciting. It's exciting.
Very exciting here, Sammy. And what's your favorite horse you've ridden so far?
Oh, Justify.
Who?
Justify.
You rode Justify?
Oh, no, I say my favorite horse.
Oh, sure, yeah, Justify's a great horse. I didn't know you. I was like, I don't think you rode him, Sammy, but who's your favorite horse that you've ridden?
I rode, her name is O2 the Sammy.
What was he like?
My favorite horse was named O2 the Sammy.
Really?
Really. I won like three allowance races in a row, and like a couple times second in the state races. So I really like that feeling. I was in love with that feeling.
And you guys just connected? You just got along really well?
Yeah, you know, I say all the time, the horses, all they need is talk. The horses, they are smart. They know you. They know the feeling, you know? You can tell.
And do you think that certain riders fit certain horses better than others?
Sometimes.
So you felt like you just connected with that horse then? Oh, to Sammy.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good connection.
How about you rode a couple other nice horses too, Sammy? Green Grotto, Chorus Line, Run a Dub Dub. Some pretty nice horses you've ridden.
Oh yeah, the horse was good one, Gringaro.
Yeah.
I the horse was doing nothing, you know. It was like, you know, want a room. So one day the trainer called me to breeze the horse, and he breezed like 1 minute from 5 furlong. And the trainer put in claiming race. He finished second, but the horse beat it. He was like a stay horse, kick cruise. Never forget the horse. So after the race, he started winning. Win the maiden claiming race, 40,000. He win the star allowance, win the allowance. And then he put in the state race. He was like 21, 43, fast horse. He finished second.
Wow.
One state race in Belmont, so it was a good one.
What's it like to ride such a fast horse like that? Can you tell nice horses like that? Are they just classy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they know what to do. These horses, they know what to do. They have class. So, yeah. Sometimes you don't have to tell them nothing. You just go. Win them. Win him.
Jockey Sammy Camacho Jr. joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Sammy, what do you do for fun? You work a lot, but what do you do for fun?
I love to go fishing.
Fishing?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Fishing, go to the lake, you know. Some kind of all good thing, chill, you know, relax. May you feel peaceful.
I get frustrated, Sam, when I go fishing and I don't catch any fish. But you just like to be out there and to relax then.
Maybe you don't go for the right lake.
That's probably what it is. You're going to have to tell me where to go.
I know, yeah. One day.
One day. There we go, Sammy. Talking about riding again, what's the atmosphere like in the jocks room for you? You've ridden New York, Monmouth, all over the place, now Kentucky, Miami. What's the atmosphere like in the jocks room? You're all competitors. You're talking about your brother. You know, he's your brother, but on the racetrack, you want to win. You want to beat him. So what's it like for you when you go back to the jocks room after a race? Maybe you won or maybe you got beat and you're facing your competitors. You're right there with them. So what's that like?
Sometimes it's like focus on the game, you know? We talk about racing, about excuses after the races, so... Everything is a competition, you know?
But do you see any fights or do people, you know, get on each other's nerves, they get mad at each other, or do you just deal with it?
No, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes that happens, but not all the time.
Who are some of the riders that you look up to in the jocks room now? Some of the riders that maybe help you out?
Jimmy Graham, I talk with him a lot about the races. I talk with him a lot.
James Graham?
Yes.
What does he tell you?
He teach me, and I listen to him, and I like how he ride. He got great hands.
Great hands?
Yes.
So you wanna try to copy his style a little bit? You wanna try to ride like James Graham?
Well, you know, I got my own style, but I like to ride sometimes like he do, because like I say, he got good hands. The horse connection with him, and you know, good jockey, great rider.
Let's talk about maybe who are some of the riders that helped you out in the jocks room there in New York when you first arrived in New York. I believe there were a couple other Venezuelan riders there.
Oh, my first hand was Ramon Dominguez.
Ramon Dominguez, one of the best.
Yeah, one of the best. He's a great person, too. He signed me the first hand in New York. That's why I moved my back from New York.
So he helped you move to New York?
Yeah, because one day... he go to ride in Miami, couple state races. So I meet him, you know. And I ask him, hey, Ramon, you know, I like to go to New York. I have the book. I just come from Venezuela. What do you think? You know, you can find me some agent. So, I think he told when Eibarcoa find me the agent. It was in that time Mike Monroe working for me.
So Ramon Dominguez helped you out. Did Ramon know your father when your father rode?
Yeah, he know him. He know my father. I think they rode together.
Wow.
No Lombo, Capo Races.
That's incredible. So it's in the family. So you had a great mentor there with Ramon Dominguez. Did he help you out with your riding?
Yeah, all the time. Ramon's good, you know. All the time he asked me for what I need or whatever. So he was right there. He was there for me.
Yeah, Ramon is a wonderful person. We've had him here on the show as well. So, Sammy, let's talk about your family again. You mentioned your father's actually with your brother right now. Do you get to see your family a lot?
Not really. You know, my career don't let me a lot of vacation, a lot of day off. So, sometimes I come from Florida. I can visit my niece, my sister, my mother. But now the plan is my mother coming to Kentucky, you know, and stay with me for vacation, a couple of months, you know.
But they still live in Venezuela.
No, she's living now in Miami.
Oh,
and my dad too.
Oh, nice. So they live here in the States.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have other family that still lives in Venezuela? Do you have any other brothers or sisters?
Only one sister. My other three brothers is here.
Okay. And what
you
do
know
they...
My country, you know, sorry, you know my country right now is no good, so...
Right.
They moved to here.
Yeah, it's very good that they were able to do that. What do your other brothers do?
My other brother, he working, but not in the track. My other brother working too, but not in the track too, so... They don't work in the track.
So they also work at the racetrack?
Yeah.
What do they do? Do they gallop horses or?
No. Nothing with no horses. They don't, you know. They like to see the races, but no, they don't work in with the horses.
Okay, so they don't actually work with the horses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What about your sister? What does she do back in Venezuela?
My sister, she's with his family. In Venezuela, she got now Dora. She get married, so I think maybe she come.
So she might come to the States as well?
Yeah.
That would be great if all your family were here and they could watch you and your brother ride, Sammy. Wishing them all the best, of course. So, Sammy, you're very busy, as you mentioned. You're riding all over the place. You're supposed to ride in Indiana today. Your horse scratched, but you're at Ellis Park. So you're traveling a lot. You're pretty busy. So take us through a typical day in your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of drive, you know. I don't used to drive too long like now here in Kentucky, but we have to go and we have to do that.
So what time do you wake up? Do you go out and work horses in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, I wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. And work horse in the morning, you know. Go for Churchill, go for Spectrum, Kineland, where they need me, I go.
So you're all over Kentucky then?
Yeah. All over the place.
Keep the road hot, Sammy. And then, so do you have time? Do you take a nap in between before you ride in the afternoon, or do you jog? What do you do?
Sometimes, no. Sometimes I don't like to take the nap because if I take the nap, I want to keep going.
You don't want to wake up?
Yeah. No. So, you know, I drink the coffee, wake me up, and keep going.
So then you ride, you have to sometimes, you said hit the hot box?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. I go in the hot box, you know.
And then after you ride, what do? Do you go to bed early? Do you eat dinner after you ride? Tell us what you do after the races.
Yeah, I go for dinner. and go out sometime with my friends, you know, and go. And then, yeah, go back home, sleeping for wake on the next day.
So what time do you try to get to bed? You have a busy days. You have to get lots of sleep, I hope.
I try to go to the bed like 10:30, you know, before 11 is good. So you can wake up in the morning stronger.
And how do you prepare for a race? Obviously, you can handicap the races and things like that, but how do you, say you've never ridden a horse, how do you prepare for the race?
Watch my the videos the last time my horse I ride, you know?
So you watch the videos and you see maybe what they like, what they don't like?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you ever ask any other riders who've maybe ridden the horse about how the horse reacts?
Yeah, I like to ask it sometimes, you know. I like to ask it.
Would you say you prefer to work a horse in the morning before you actually ride a horse in the afternoon?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I like to know my horse before the race. It's good. It's good when you know the horse. You know already what you need to do in the afternoon, you know?
And say you've never been on a horse before, so do you try to get to know the horse during the post-parade?
Not really. Not really, you know. When you warm up the horse, you know, they can tell you the horse. So
you try to figure them out then, right?
Yeah. I always try. I always pay attention, you know, what they do and what they move. So I always have attention.
Would you say you prefer riding older horses or do you like working with the babies?
No, se mara. I like to ride like all the people ride horses with talent, class, you know. But yeah, I like to ride babies. That's the future. So, you know.
What's it like working with these two-year-old horses and they're green and they're spooky? How do you deal with that? How do you, you know, prepare yourself for anything that can happen?
Well, in my shortly career, I don't really rode like too many green babies, you know. So I don't want that kind of experience. So thank God, you know, they go and they go straight and they go the right way.
So you haven't had to deal with too many bad acting babies. That's always a good thing, Sammy, right?
In the morning, the other day, I bleed one baby. So in the tape stretch, he go like straight. He not turn, you know? He go straight. I have to stop him. That was a little rough.
Yeah, that has to be... Do you get scared out there or do you just keep calm and try to take control of your horse?
Yeah, you know, I try to calm down, you know, and not scared because, you know, find out when I'm scared, you know, we're not be scared. So just try to calm down and make him relax, you know, have the control.
Can horses feel your emotions when you're scared, when you're angry? Do they know that?
Oh, yeah. They feel it. Of course. They feel you all of the time.
Wow, so you have to be out there and you have to be confident on a horse because they can feel that.
Real confidence.
Jockey Sammy Camacho Jr. joining me tonight on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sammy, we only have a couple minutes left here to the show, but you've been riding a couple years now. You went through the jockey school. What advice would you give to a younger rider starting out?
Well, the most important, work hard. When you work hard, pay off. And like I say all the time, never give up. And try to learn new every day. Every day you're learning something new, so just focus on what you do, you know. We'll be fine.
And do you think it's wise for young riders to also be schooled or educated in money management and things like that, taxes, things. Did you know all of that when you first arrived here to the States and you started riding?
No, I didn't know about it.
Do you think that's wise for young riders to have that type of education under their belt before they actually start riding?
Excuse me?
Do you think it's wise for young riders to also be educated in money management and business like that when they first start riding? Do you think that's wise for them?
Sometimes it's not easy for younger, you know? When you start make big money like that, you know, you got to pay attention and that and focus yourself, you know. That's the most important.
All right, Sammy. Well, we are all out of time. Wishing you all the best. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, you know. I appreciate that.
Folks, you can check out this show and replays of all of our other shows on the website, horseracingradio.net. While you're there, check out all of the other great shows you can find here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, like Trainer Talk, Equine Forum, and of course, Express Bet Radio. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Dalla Pina, I'm Christina McManigal, and thank you for listening.